Welcome to the Weekend Stakes Preview on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Naira Betts.
Midpoint on the turn, Midnight Bourbon has confronted Right and Just, and Mandaloon has been right with them. Proxy now tips to the forepath. Oh, Baseless on the far outside. Senior Buscador was the wide out past the quarter pole. Three quarters, 1 minute 12.74 seconds. Mandaloon has taken a short lead from a battling Midnight Bourbon. On the outside is a Proxy, then Obesos, Senior Buscador. They come past the 16th. It's Mandaloon. Mandaloon, Proxy, and Midnight Bourbon with Florent Giroux. It's Mandaloon. And Mandaloon wins the Risen Star Stakes. Proxy was second, Midnight Bourbon third. Another three-way go for fourth between Senior Buscador with Obesos and Right and Just.
Now, here's Anthony Stabile and Bobby Newman.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. On the Big A, Anthony Stabile in New York. The voice of Prairie Meadows, Bobby Newman, out at Prairie Meadows in Altoona, Iowa. Producer Lee Delapina back in our Lexington, Kentucky studios. We have 11 stakes for you this weekend, 6 Saturday, 5 on Sunday, going to hit 7 different venues. Lots of action, Bobby. Second half of the season really beginning, and the three-year-olds are going to kick things off down at Monmouth Park as Mandaloon, the second horse across the wire in the Kentucky Derby, takes on just 4 others in the Pegasus at Monmouth Park.
And I guess it would be a little premature to say this year's Kentucky Derby winner, but it sounds like that's kind of the way it's headed. And I wonder when the last time the Kentucky Derby winner ran in the Pegasus was.
And it's got to be a while, right? That wasn't the Pegasus at Maximum Security, and he wasn't the Derby winner. Much like Medina Spirit and Mandaloon, who knows what's going on. Yeah, it's been a while. I would imagine it's been a while, but looking forward to seeing Mandaloon. Of course, Brad Cox coming off a win in the 153rd test of the champion, the Belmont Stakes, with Essential Quality. The two-year-old champ gets one of the three Triple Crown races this season, and now he has Mandaloon, he has Folsom, a loaded Brad Cox barn, full of three-year-olds, full of good three-year-olds at that. And we'll see how Mandaloon makes his first start, how he does in his first start since the Kentucky Derby, a race he may eventually become the winner of. I'll be curious to see how he returns. Looking forward to that. Got the Salvador Mile on Saturday at Monmouth Park. Action all over the place. Thankfully, you can bet any track, any place, and any time over at NairaBets.com. Head on over. HRRN200 is the promo code. Bet 200, get 200. That's over at NairaBets.com. They have a 50-50-50 tomorrow. Bet $50 at Belmont, Churchill, and Monmouth. Churchill has a Downs After Dark card that starts at 6 right after Belmont wraps up. Bet 50 at each track at a $15 bonus. There's a cross-country pick 5 tomorrow. That involves Belmont Race 7. Our neighbors to the north, Woodbine, back in action. It's opening day. So Belmont Race 7's leg A, Woodbine Race 7 leg B, Monmouth Race 10, then Woodbine Race 8, and Monmouth Race 11. So there you go. 7 at Belmont, 7 at Woodbine, 10 at Monmouth, 8 at Woodbine, 11 at Monmouth. Cross country pick 5. You can play that over at Naira Betts as well. You got to opt into the promos now, by the way. A little bit of a different system they use over there at Naira. You can opt in at NairaBets.com. There's also a Sunday promotion over at Lone Star Park. We'll actually have 2 of the 4 stakes that Lone Star has on Sunday later on in the programming. In this program, that Sunday, the $50 bonus is if you bet $50, 5 stakes actually, bet $25 to win at least on each horse and on each of the stakes, and you'll get a $50 bonus when you lose. So a pretty good promotion as well. Head to NairaBets.com for all of the promotions. Just go right onto the promotional calendar under special offers. Okay, let's kick it off. But Dancing Renee, what a good filly she was. And turned out to be a nice mare. Say Florida Sandy, one of the richest New York breds of all time, was one of her offspring. We got the eighth named after her tomorrow on a 10-race card. By the way, an A-Train reunion on Talking Horses tomorrow. The little A, Acacia Courtney, going to join me right around 11:30. So if you want to catch the A-Train first left the station here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Catch us tomorrow Talking Horses. We're actually going to be doing the Prattles all day together as well with Maggie Wolf and Dan Wally in the paddock. Dancer Renee goes as race 8. Field of 6, led by Sadie Lady. Sadie Lady, Bobby, a reformed claimer, if you will. She's done a lot of good for trainer Rob Atrus. Rob took over her training in the winter of 2019. First start was an off-the-board finish. She beat just one horse home, and then it's completely turned around. She's earned $250,000 for Rob and his wife, Brittany. She just got beat by a couple of lengths in the Grade 3 Vagrancy last time out. First time back against State Bred since November when she stubbed her toe against Espresso Shot, who's back here going 7 furlongs. Tomorrow, they go her favorite distance, 6 panels.
Well, technically, she's made all that money for owner Dennis Narlinger, but obviously Rob Atrus and Brittany along the way and collecting as well and doing a lot of the hard work. Sadie Lady, I think, faced tougher competition last time out when she stepped into the graded stakes ranks in the Vagrancy. She ran pretty well. She finished second that day, showed her normal speed, just simply could not outgun Victim of Love down the lane. Held off Pacific Gale by a nose for that second place position, and Pacific Gale was a much more accomplished runner going into the Vagrancy than Sadie Lady was. So I was impressed by that effort, even though it was in defeat. And to me, there's a lot of speed in this race, but I think Sadie Lady is the speed of the speed. And if she gets in front of this field, there may not be that kind of closer like what she saw with Victim of Love last time out trying to chase her down. So I put her on top.
Yeah, when Sadie Lady's around, she's the speed. She'll be in front of these horses. Victim of Love sat right off her last time. And ultimately, Victim of Love, a two-time graded stakes winner now, just, you know, worked out the trip off of the speed. It's a lot different when Ruby's in Time is going to be the one on your hip and not a graded stakes winner. I think Sadie Lady's going to be real tough. You know, I looked at this race for a while, and then I just said, she's going to get in front. She's better than these horses. The only horse I want to give a little chance to against her is the one Fierce Lady, who was cut out to be a nice one. She was just mishandled by Dermot Magner. She broke her maiden by 6 lengths with an 87 buyer speed figure. They tried to sell her. She didn't get sold. There was an issue with the sale. They ran her back really quick. She shipped to Kentucky to sell, and then they shipped her back to Saratoga. She got beat a nose. She came back and won. And then, like I said, just mishandled by Magner. It took her a while to get back to her good form. She sat off the pace last time out, and she's supposed to, at the very least, have Sadie Lady and Ruby's in Time chasing. I think she sits the 3 trip here along the inside under Luis Saez. She's the only horse I want against Sadie Lady tomorrow. 5-1, a little turnaround, 1-5 for me in race number 8, the Dancing Renee at beautiful Belmont Park. Goes as race number 8. Down at Gulfstream, we don't get the Gulfstream much in the summer. The Ginger Punch. I don't know why the Ginger Punch is at 1 16th on the turf, but it is. It's for the Florida-bred fillies. They will go that 1 16th. There's a field of 9 entered. One of them, the number 5, Aris Indy, entered for main track only. So 8 go on the turf. Pretty wide open morning line here. There are a couple of double-digit outliers, but 6 of them between 7-2 favoritism and 8-1. And the 7-2 favorites are number 7, Key Biscayne, who is a perfect 2-for-2 against fellow Florida breds. In fact, she kept some really good company last year. Antoinette, Speak to Me of Summer, Magic Attitude, 7-2 on a morning line. I think the 2 should probably be more like a 5.
Yeah, and I picked her on top simply because of that. I don't know if she'll fire her best shot off this layoff. Trainer Juan Alvarado wins about 12% of the time with these extended layoff runners, so you know, if you go with that theory, it's certainly nothing overwhelming, but this is probably a better runner than most of the ones he's bringing back off those long layoffs. And we'll see. I mean, she's come back off long layoffs in the past and it looked like she ran well but not her best. I think she's going to need pretty close to her best to win tomorrow. By the way, so when you think of the former Racemare Ginger Punch, you don't think long on the turf?
No. And they go seven Breeders' Cup in a sea of slop at Monmouth Park. That's what I think of.
I'm always amazed when that happens. I wonder why race offices or directors of racing are so committed to certain stakes names that they're willing to associate them with, you know, distances or surfaces that horse or filly, you know, basically never, you know, it'd be like naming a mile and a quarter turf race the Groovy Handicap. It just makes no sense. Yeah. But you always wonder that. And this is not the only case where this happens. It happens at other tracks, but you just wonder about those things. You know, you can rename this if you're going to change this. It's not, you know, it's a $75,000 state bred stake. I don't think you have to keep that name. It's not like keeping, you know, the American Pharaoh, you know, a Triple Crown or the Affirmed or the Secretariat. You know, it's the Ginger Punch.
And then they'll run that other mile on the 16th tomorrow on the turf at Gulfstream Park. The Salvador Mile, grade three for $150,000, goes as race 10 at Monmouth Park tomorrow. Flat mile. It's around the two turns, field of 10, led by New York Traffic. New York Traffic's best race came at Monmouth Park, up until last time anyway. Got to be just a nose to eventual Derby, Breeders' Cup Classic, and Horse of the Year winner, Authentic. Came back against fellow New York breds last time and crushed them over at Belmont Park. Stretches out around the two turns, gets the mile. His two-turn races, his mile races, his race at Monmouth are sensational. Man, I have a lot of chalk to start this card. I don't know how you're supposed to beat this horse tomorrow.
Well, I don't think they beat this horse tomorrow if he's anywhere close to what he looked like last time at Belmont Park. And you know, that was his first race off a layoff. Hypothetically, he could be better next time out, and you would think that a two-turn mile would fit better than a one-turn seven furlongs. Listen, I know he was roughly 2-5, just under 2-5 last time out, and he was facing state breds sprinting in New York, and, you know, he had every reason to win that race. But I thought he ran even better than I expected, and by a long way. Boy, Safi Joseph, I mean, he's done it well for several years now in South Florida, and he's proving that his horses can go north and be very, very dangerous, whether it's New York Traffic or Drain the Clock or several others. This is a barn that knows how to get the horses ready and knows how to get them good.
Yeah, everything you said. I don't know how they're going to beat this horse tomorrow. I really don't. And I'm not, I don't want to start it off with chalk, but I don't see this horse can go to the lead. This horse can sit off the pace. He'll probably sit off the pace tomorrow.
You know, I'll tell you something funny. You know, this is a horse that cost a lot of people money in last year's Kentucky Derby. And that's because he almost caught Authentic going a mile and an eighth in the Haskell back on July 18th. And it made several people, and I'm one of them, think that Authentic was going to have a tough time getting a mile and a quarter because he barely held off New York Traffic going a mile and an eighth. And, you know, maybe that even says more about New York Traffic, that he somehow almost caught Authentic going a mile and an eighth, horse who wins the Derby and wins the Breeders' Cup Classic.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I'm going to make a cold exacto with the two, West Willpower, who... He's a length and a half from being undefeated in his career. He's run some really big races so far. I know it looks like his best race was in the mud last time. It wasn't. His best race was the second start of his career, going a mile and 70 at Monmouth. He's 2-for-2 at Monmouth Park for Kelly Breen. Nick Juarez is going to ride. I think he's very dangerous. And if anybody beats New York Traffic, it'll be him. I'll make a cold 7-2. Race 10 goes as the grade 3. Salvator Mile. Race number 8 at the Great Race Place is what we will bring you when we return. We'll talk about the Thor's Echo, the Albany at Golden Gate, and the Grade 3 Mint Julep run tomorrow night under the lights at Churchill Downs. We'll also bring you the Blood Horse News update. That all comes up in the next segment. You're listening to the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts, here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Bet and watch the races worldwide from the palm of your hand with Naira Bets. Sign up for Naira Bets today and take advantage of premier perks with the best live racing and instant replays in HD, exclusive promotions, and earn points on every bet. Sign up for Naira Bets today with the promo code HRRN200 and earn a deposit match bonus of up to $200. Again, that's HRRN200. With Naira Bets, you can bet any track, anywhere, at any time. Head over to NairaBets.com.
Spring Meet is back at Churchill Downs with live racing now through June 26th. And new this year, Stephen Foster Day has moved to a daytime card with seven total stakes races that include the Breeders' Cup Winning Your In Florida Lee for the Distaff Division and the Stephen Foster for the Classic Division. Churchill also has Twilight Racing starting at 5 p.m. each Thursday throughout the remainder of the meet. Add in the strong purses and you're not going to want to miss the Spring Meet at Churchill Downs. Get your tickets today at ChurchillDowns.com.
Dan, Santa Anita's winter spring meeting is drawing to a close, so make plans to join us over the next two weekends as Sunday, June 20th is closing day. This Saturday, an outstanding field of California-bred sprinters will go postward in the $100,000 Thor's Echo Stakes at 6 furlongs, and on Sunday, the Grade 3 Affirm Stakes for 3-year-olds at a mile and 1/16th, and the $75,000 Possibly Perfect for fillies and mares at a mile and 1/4 on turf will highlight an 11-race card. First post time on Saturday and Sunday will be at 1 o'clock, so be sure to join Tom Quigley and a special guest as they handicap each day's card beginning at 11:50 a.m. at SantaAnita.com/live. Please visit SantaAnita.com/open for reserved seating as walk-up admission is not yet available. And fans, Santa Anita's grandstand paddock room has been reopened. Please visit our website for details. Santa Anita, great racing and great value in a world-class setting.
Join HRRN every Saturday morning for the Equine Forum in its new three-hour format. Mike Penna will bring you interviews with the biggest names in thoroughbred racing, as well as new features like In the Room with Sean Clancy, Unsung Heroes, Kurt Becker's Stroll Through Racing History, and more. The Equine Forum, the show that launched a network. Saturdays 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern on Sirius 219 XM 201 and streaming live at horseracingradio.net.
This is Dale Romans, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Bets.
Juliet Foxtrot is the leader. Coming to the quarter pole, Juliet Foxtrot leads it by three lengths top of the stretch. Tamahir is in second. Etoile goes to third on the outside of Maxim Rate, La Senyare, Micheline at the back. Juliet Foxtrot, a 2.5 length lead in the final furlong of the Cool Bar Jenny Wiley. It's still Tamahir in the second position. Etoile is third. It is Juliet Foxtrot in front for Tyler Gaffalione. Chased down the stretch by Tamahir, but Juliet Foxtrot to win the feature. Jugmont 16th career graded stakes win at Keeneland.
It was all Juliet Foxtrot in the Jenny Wiley, wire to wire for Brad Cox and Florent Giroux. It could be a popular phrase this weekend at Churchill and Monmouth. Welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Bets here on HRRN. The Big A and Bobby Newman taking you through 11 Weekend Stakes. Before we get back into the action, there's a lot of stakes going to be run over the pond at Royal Ascot this week coming up. And it's time now for the Bloodhorse News Update. And look at the top headlines from Bloodhorse.com. Ward hopes to bring Royal Ascot winner or two home. 12 years have passed since trainer Wesley Ward's first Royal Ascot starter. Though his memory of the Ascot race and those that followed endured. Canizares Ramsey's Cannonball gave him his first experience at the prestigious British meet, finishing 6th of 15 in the Grade 1 King's Stand back in 2009. Catiana's 4-year-old mustered a rally from last, making up ground too late over the final furlong. His Royal Ascot success, though, is unprecedented for an American trainer, as Ward, a semi-well-known American in England, where racing remains one of his most popular sports. He's won 11 races at the Royal Ascot meet, and this year will be represented by a contingent that includes last year's winner, a winner from last year at Campanelle. That wraps up tonight's edition of the Blood Horse News Update. The new Blood Horse Plus is available through bloodhorse.com. It provides exclusive content to subscribers, including a daily detailed stakes winner section, Fox Sports and Blood Horse branded weekly programs showcasing the thoroughbred industry's upcoming races and recapping recent stakes races, behind-the-scenes videos and interviews, on-demand access to deeper horse statistics, and more. That's the new Blood Horse Plus on bloodhorse.com. Upgrade today. That meet runs Tuesday through Saturday. Action starts in the morning here in the U.S. Nyra Betts has you covered for all of the stakes action out at the Great Race Place on Saturday. The Thor's Echo is for the Calbreds. 100,000 on the line. They'll go 6 furlongs on the main track. Field of six here. 9-5 on the 5 Brickyard Ride on the morning line. 2-1 on the 3 Fashionably Fast.
This race a little more aptly named. Thor's Echo, pretty good cowbred sprinter several years ago, and some pretty good horses in here. There's a tough, really tough horse to figure in here, Anthony, and that's the favorite, Brickyard Ride, who I'm going to try to beat, because his good races, I think, would maul this field, including wins in the Grade 2 San Carlos 3 starts back and the Cal Cup Sprint back in January. Unfortunately, he doesn't always run like that. He makes the lead almost every time, but you know those races he just kept on going. It wasn't like he was losing ground to the field. I mean, it was like he wasn't getting tired. He just kept going and going and going. And his two subsequent starts, he made the lead and stopped badly. He's been beaten at 3-5 and 1-5 in his last two starts. So you just don't know what you're going to get from Brickyard Ride. I'm going to take the second choice, number 3, Fashionably Fast, for Dean Pedersen and Tiago Pereira. Fashionably Fast has raced 10 times at Santa Anita, and he's been in the money 9 of those 10 races. He's a horse that has speed, but he also can pass a runner or two. He's not a deep closer, but he can come from a stalking position. I would expect him to be just in behind Brickyard Ride and the first one to pounce if that one starts to falter tomorrow.
Try the rail, Colt Fiction, for the Manugians and Bill Spraw. Umberto Rispoli is going to ride. Thiago Pereira stays on your pick, Fashionably Fast. I'm going to try Colt Fiction, who these blinkers certainly seem to have helped his cause. He likes 6 furlongs. He likes Santa Anita. I think he gets a good ground-saving trip. One Colt Fiction for me, race number 8, goes as the Thor's Echo. We'll get back to the Great Race Place for some Sunday action. We'll actually wrap the show with a couple from Santa Anita on Sunday. Golden Gates, the Albany, 5 furlongs on the turf. A little turf sprint goes as race number 9 on the card. Field of 8. This was an interesting bunch. Brandon, the bartender, ships up off of a couple of turf wins down at Santa Anita against fellow Calbreds. This is an open company race, though. He's facing all but one of these runners is a Calbred. The only open company horse is the number 5, Exalting, is a Florida bred who has had mixed results in 2 starts on the turf, a win and a last. So basically a Calbred race with 1 Florida bred. We'll see if Brandon the bartender can keep his 2-race win streak going and make it a hat trick.
Yeah, he's going good right now, but he hasn't run as well up at Golden Gate the few times he's been up there as he does in Southern California, which you would assume that the competition would be tougher in Southern California, but for some reason he does not bring his A game up north. So I went to number 2, Give Me the Loot, for Andy Mathis and Irving Orozco. 5 career starts at Golden Gate on the turf, 3 wins, a 2nd, and a 3rd. He's been routing his last 2 starts. In fact, we haven't seen him since November. Coming back for his 2021 debut, this barn does very well with extended layoff runners, does Andy Mathis. They do well with everything, but this is another category where they're, you know, somewhere in the 21-23 percentile range. So very, very strong off the bench. I think there's some speed in here, and Give Me the Loot will sit just in behind them and have some sort of a kick. I'll take him off the bench.
Love this horse tomorrow. Absolutely love this horse tomorrow. I'm with you, my man. Now, are you going to sing Biggie if he wins? Are you going to sing Give Me the Loot if he wins? This is a little different. They're asking for the Loot, as in Midnight Loot, who is his damn sire. I'll be singing Give Me the Loot if he wins. I can tell you that right now. I'll be blasting it, in fact.
Yeah, and by the way, it says Give Me the Loot, not Gimme the Loot. So I don't know if the owners, Rod and Wendy Hogan, are Biggie fans, but the dam is Steal the Loot. Obviously, she's by Midnight Loot, so Give Me the Loot makes sense as a name.
And he's by Boisterous, which I'm all about being boisterous. So, yeah, Give Me the Loot for me. Race number 9 goes as the Albany. Race number... Hold on a second. Why do we not have... Where did my PPs go for the... All right. My PPs disappeared for the Mint Julep. I'm going to pull them back up right now. Juliet Foxtrot was originally going to run in the Just a Game last Saturday. I don't know if Pocket Square, if Judmon thought that they had it covered with Pocket Square. She did not run particularly well. She did not get a big pace to run it either. But there was a little bit of a reroute, and Juliet Foxtrot is going to go to a place where she's had plenty of success in her career. She's 1-for-3. She ran in this race last year. She disappointed last year, but she galloped in an allowance race. And, you know, this is home. This is where she stables most of the year. She won that Jenny Wiley in Kentucky at Keeneland last time out. She's 6-5 on the morning line. I mean, if you Tyler Gaffalione's going to ride as Giroux at Monmouth to ride Mandaloon on Sunday, I always try to beat these types horses that are rerouted to other races. More often than not, the reroute happens earlier, these horses. But she's getting an extra week, which to me can only help her cause. I don't have anything too clever to say here. I think she's going to win. Do you have anything? Do you have any other kind of... who do you like in here? Do you like anybody? I'm open to opinions. I just think she's too tough.
Well, I agree with you, and let's clarify something. She's rerouted, but she didn't really reroute. She's been based at Churchill for a while. So rerouted as far as what the plans were, but not sent to New York and then sent back to Churchill. I mean, she just worked 4 days ago at Churchill Downs. She's been at Churchill for, you know, since the beginning of April. So I think they just changed their minds, and let's face it, the field that she is facing tomorrow in the Mint Julep is not close to what she would have seen in the Just a Game last weekend. You can tell by the morning line, whoever it is that makes the morning line at Churchill Downs, they had no problem figuring out that Juliet Foxtrot should be the favorite, but trying to figure out who's going to be the second choice, you got a couple 6-1s, 8-1s, 10-1, you just can't figure it out. You know, it's Juliet Foxtrot and everyone else if she runs her race. And you know what, there's not a lot of speed in there, so she may just have to get out in front of Flash and Dance, and she may be on her merry way. 6-5 on the morning line, you're not going to get 6-5.
No, you can't get 6-5. I had a little opinion, and it, again, I say a little opinion. I don't have a huge opinion here. But the 11, she's on the warpath, is how I would close out the exacta. I think she's got a useful race in the Unbridled Sydney over the course sprinting last time. I mean, if that was anything more than a race to knock the rust off, I don't think I've ever seen a better example of it. Nice work tab since. Barn has good numbers stretching out from a sprint to a route. She's had success at Churchill. More importantly, she's had a success at the mile and a 16th distance. She's a stakes winner at the distance. She actually finished ahead of Juliet Foxtrot in this race last year. She just missed by a half length. Adam Beskiza rode her for the first time last time. He keeps the mount. I'm going to make a 2-11. I may even turn it around for a few bucks. She looks tough to beat Juliet Foxtrot. If anybody does it, I think it'll be the 11. She's on a warpath. That's how I saw race number 9. Number 9 at Churchill Downs, the Grade 3 Mint Julep. All right, we're halfway home. We'll take a break. We'll come back. All the Saturday action, in fact, is in the books. We'll turn our attention to Sunday when we return. You're listening to the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts, here on HRRN.
Bet and watch the races worldwide from the palm of your hand with Naira Bets. Sign up for Naira Bets today and take advantage of premier perks with the best live racing and instant replays in HD, exclusive promotions, and earn points on every bet. Sign up for Naira Bets today with the promo code HRRN200 and earn a deposit match bonus of up to $200. Again, that's HRRN200. With Naira Bets, you can bet any track, anywhere, at any time. Head over to NairaBets.com.
Spring Summer Meet is live now at Gulfstream Park. Live racing Thursday through Sunday through September 26th. Look forward to the Summit of Speed on Saturday, July 3rd, and the FTBOA Florida Sire Stakes Series, which begins July 31st. Stay in on the action from the comfort of your mobile phone using First Bet, the official app of Gulfstream Park. For the stakes schedule, tips and analysis, and seat reservations, visit GulfstreamPark.com. On-site tickets are limited, so book your seats now.
Get to know the men and women who make this sport go on Trainer Talk, presented by Facig Tipton. Mike Pena sits down with Hall of Famers, up-and-comers, and everyone in between with an intimate conversation that goes beyond the X's and O's. Hear their stories every Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. Eastern on Sirius 219 XM 201 or streaming live at horseracingradio.net. It's the show that trainers listen to. Trainer Talk, presented by Facig Tipton, only on HRRN.
Yo, guys, they call me Jersey Joe, but it's only Joe Bravo. Call me whatever you like. Just so happy that you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Bets.
Wayburn runs in second. Crowded Trade up on the outside in third. Capo Kane is fourth. And then Highly Motivated in fifth. Three quarters went in one, 12 and four. And here comes Crowded Trade on the outside. Now to grab the lead. Wayburn continues to battle on. Down at the rail is Freedom Fighter in third. Highly Motivated is in fourth. It is Crowded Trade. And on the inside it is Wayburn. Crowded Trade. Wayburn continues to battle on. As they come for the finish in the Gotham, Wayburn and Crowded Trade. Oh, it's a bang bang finish. Was it Wayburn on the inside or Crowded Trade on the outside? A terrific duel in the Gotham.
It was Wayburn, Johnny I, to the tune of $95. Welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Bets here on HRRN. A big upset in the Gotham was followed by a huge upset in the Wood Memorial. If you had the two winners of the two big preps for the Kentucky Derby in New York this year, congratulations, you made an awful lot of money. Wayburn takes on Mandaloon tomorrow in the Pegasus at Monmouth Park, Sunday rather, as the second half of the season kicks off for the three-year-olds. Welcome back to the Weekend Stakes Preview. Presented by Naira Bets. Speaking of Naira Bets, head over there to open a brand new account. Promo code is HRRN200. Bet 200. Get 200. Opt in to the 50-50-50 tomorrow. Bet 50 bucks at Belmont, Churchill, and Monmouth on Saturday. Get $15 back. Bet 25 to win on each of the stakes races at Lone Star on Sunday. You'll get 50 back when I lose. Head to NairaBets.com. Go to that promotional calendar for more details. All right, so let's get to the Pegasus. $150,000 on the line. It's a mile and a 16th. Just a field of five. Mandaloon, 3-5 on the morning line. Brad Cox, Florent Giroux rides. Wayburn, 7-2 on the morning line. Jimmy Jerkins. Dylan Davis winning at a good clip down at Monmouth Park. He's become a little bit of a weekend warrior. Him and his agent, Mike Migliori, realizing it's a little tough go of it at Belmont right now. Taking all of these mounts, they're riding for top trainers like Chad Brown and Todd Pletcher. Here they're riding for Jimmy Jerkins on a horse that caught a fever and he couldn't kick the illness, Bobby. He was being pointed to the Peter Pan and the Belmont. Had to reroute him a little bit. I would imagine this is a little prep for perhaps the Haskell and then on to the Travers in the summer at the Spa.
Yeah, the Haskell is July 17th. Medina Spirit is supposedly headed that way, so it seems like one way or the other, the Kentucky Derby winner will be running in the Haskell this year, whichever way that is. But Mandaloon may end up being this year's Kentucky Derby winner, and he certainly looks like he's the one to beat in this spot. I mean, let's face it, this is a non-graded stake at Monmouth, and he's coming out of four graded stakes in a row where he was a major player in most of them, including the Kentucky Derby last time out. He's facing some horses in here that really have done very little other than winning a maiden race and possibly an allowance race. I think Mandaloon is the one to beat in this spot. He doesn't seem like a horse to me who's going to bury a field. You know, he seems more like a grinder to me, and there are horses like Brooklyn Strong and Weyburn in this race that have run races that I think could challenge Mandaloon, but in the end, I think Mandaloon's just a better horse than them. I don't have the morning line yet for Monmouth. I'm guessing this horse is somewhere in the 1-2 range by the time post time rolls around, so not really reinventing the wheel here, but this is a race I'm more interested in watching than anything else, see how he comes back off that big Derby effort.
Yeah, and, you know, Ed DeRosa and I were talking about this last night on the Brisnet.com call-in show. What's the end game here? Mandaloon could very well become this year's Kentucky Derby winner, which, of course, has so many, you know, breeding-wise, Judmont gets their Derby winner. They'll stand him, I would imagine. I don't know how you manage the campaign going forward. Listen, you know I like this horse in the Derby. I'm a fan of this horse. I don't know how far this horse wants to go. I think running this horse this route, Pegasus Haskell, makes the most sense. I think he's going to be very, very tough, provided it all goes well the next 6 weeks. He's going to be tough in the Haskell. I don't care who comes and runs against him. At a mile and an eighth, he'll give any of these three-year-olds all they can handle. I think it was smart, as much as I was disappointed to not see him in any more Triple Crown races, I think the smart thing was done. Because I don't know if distance is this horse's friend. I think these races, I'm not waxing poetic about him on Sunday. He's supposed to beat these horses. Because on the other hand, I think Weyburn is going to be a horse that appreciates more ground. He won the Gotham because he's a good horse. He ran over a very strange racetrack on Wood Memorial Day. It was the slowest track we had really all year. He was part of the pace. And that pace doesn't look like it's that fast. It's not. But it was contested. And it was contested over a really deep and trying surface. He's a good horse, Weyburn. At Monmouth, going a mile on the 16th, I want Mandaloon all day. You're putting them at Monmouth Park going a one-turn mile on an eighth. I don't know who I want. But the fact of the matter is they're at Monmouth, and they're going a mile on the 16th on Sunday. It's advantage Mandaloon. If anybody beats him, it'll be Weyburn. And the other three horses in here, and I know Dr. Jack's 2-for-2 for Todd Pletcher, and he looked good on the Black Eyed Susan undercard at Pimlico. Brooklyn Strong comes out of the Derby in the Memorial. You know, he's another horse. He's been playing catch-up all year. They're the two. You can't bet the race. That exacta won't be paying more than $3 for $2. I can't imagine. If it is, if that exact is paying $5, I'll bet it. As ridiculous as that sounds. But it won't. It'll be curious to see. I think it's an interesting spot for both horses. I think it's more of a race to get Mandaloon on the path to the Haskell. I think it's more of a spot for Weyburn where need to run him at some point, not going to wait for the Dwyer. Didn't want to run him in the Belmont off the illness, so you run him here. Should be a fun race. Two really nice three-year-olds. I think they're going to both have a say in things the end of this year and then into next year. I think they'll both be nice older, nice second-half three-year-olds, nice four-year-olds. See what we get out of Mandaloon and Weyburn. They're the two in the Pegasus, race 10 at Monmouth on Sunday. Speaking of Sunday, Lone Star Park has a bunch of stakes races, but $25 to win on each of them, at least. And win or lose, you get back $50. NairaBets.com. The Texas Horse Racing Hall of Fame goes as race 4. It's for the statebreds. It's at a mile and a 16th out of the turf chute on the lawn. Get a field of 6. You go to the far outside, Sunlit Songs. You're even money favorite for Mindy Willis and David Cabrera. The rail is Moonjob for Paul Duhon and Aram Diego.
Boy, it sure seems like when they get down into Texas, and even Oklahoma, Sunlit Song is just one tough customer. 8 career tries on the turf at Lone Star Park, 5 wins, a second, and a third. He's been favored each of his last 4 starts. He has 3 wins and a narrow defeat, finishing second to Mujab Jr. One timeout. But that defeat was only by a head. He came right back in this next start and beat Mujab Jr. by a length and a half or so. They're both very, very talented. I just think Sunlit Song may be a little bit better, and he's going to be in front, I think, of Mujab Jr., which is a key in this race because there's really, you know, the pace is going to be moderate. Beta Lake has speed. Gunnar Celestic Man has some speed. I think it's number 6, Sunlit Song, who sits the garden trip and pounces at the top of the stretch.
Hate to take even money on the morning line, but, man, who's supposed to sit a better trip than this horse on Sunday? Right? I mean, 2 horses then, inside of him going to go. I mean, he's just supposed to trip out. And in all likelihood, it's going to leave Mujab with a little too much to do. Mujab Jr. It's not even Mujab. It's Jr. Huh. Yeah, I couldn't get past this horse either. I know Mujab Jr.'s beat him. He's beat him already, but you know, he's beat him when they went a decent clip. I just don't imagine this horse not getting a brilliant setup tomorrow. Maybe Mujab Jr. will beat him again. It's hard for me to say. I'm with you, Sunlit Song. I thought the 2, Beta Lake, was slightly interesting. They don't know what to do with this horse. They put him on the lead. He's a turf sprinter, and then he tried to walk the dog on the front end, and then they took him off the pace in the turf sprint last time after a little bit of trouble. Maybe he can round out the exact. He's got, you know, limited form. He's 8 years old. He's only run 26 times. I thought maybe he was a little interesting. If he comes off the pace and those other 2 go, maybe he can suck up for second. I'll play the race 6-2, and then I'll make a 6 with 1-2 with 1-2 try. Mujab Jr. splits him in Beta Lake, but tough to beat the 6. Sunlit Song, race 4, goes as a Texas Horse Racing Hall of Fame. We're not talking about the 2-year-old races, but the 7th race is the Lanes End Danny Shiflett Scholarship, $75,000 on the line for the State Bred Fillies. They'll go 7.5 furlongs on the turf, bigger field than Heel. In fact, it's a full field of 12, and a far more interesting race than that Hall of Fame, I thought.
Yeah, and I thought a very tough race to handicap. I landed on number 5. She's Our Fastest for Scott Gellner and Lane Luzzi, coming off a resounding win sprinting on the dirt at Lone Star in her last start in the Blue Bonnet, which was for state-bred fillies and mares sprinting. She ended up winning by 8 that day, beat a few of the fillies that she's going to see in the 7.5 furlong turf race. She has run on the turf in the past. She's never won in 6 career tries on the turf, but I think she may just be a better mare now than she was back then, so maybe now is the time that she gets that elusive first turf win. She has come back since that Lone Star race with 3 bullet workouts, so she may just be really good right at this point.
I'm going to give you a big price. I've been giving you an awful lot of chalk. An awful lot of chalk. I don't know if this mare is going to win, but I'm going to give you a horse to use in a big. She's my top pick in a race where I think if you're playing any kind of multis, it's pick 4 that starts here in race 7. You got to spread a little. I'm going to give you a big price to use in your exotics, play to win, and maybe even on a backup, the 2, Zerelda. Zerelda ran on the turf one time. They put her on the lead. And again, you know, she's a horse that has some speed. She was coming out of sprints. I got the whole thing. She's going into a barn that's having a really good run right now, Matt Hebert. She gets my man Ray Lou aboard. She's got speed. She can be tactical. She has that one turf race. And the one turf race is followed by a 13-month layoff. Now, I'm sure part of that involved the COVID. But not all of it involved COVID. So she missed a good chunk of time. They tried to run her on the turf a couple of times as a 4-year-old. And it got rained off twice. So there's been intent here to get her on the turf. Like I said, she's going to be 30-1. And I'm not telling you I love her, but at a price, she'll be in everything I use in race 7. So I'm making Zerelda the top pick. and I'm going to use a bunch of horses with her. I'm going to use the 5. She's our fastest. The 7, Burn. The 8, Miss Perfecta. And maybe even a little 9, Discreet Smile. And 11, I'm a Discreet Lady. But if you're using a 30-to-1 shot, you can use 4 or 5 other horses. So Zerelda, the number 2, my top pick. Race 7 goes as the Lanes and Danny Shiflett Scholarship. One more break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little Santa Anita Sunday. We'll tell you who's on the Equine Forum. And Bobby and I will wrap up the Triple Crown and take a look ahead going forward to the second half of the year. Who we're looking forward to. I'm always looking forward to the Travers, of course, which is shaping up to be a fantastic race. We'll talk more about it when we return. We got that Possibly Perfect and the Grade 3 Affirmed from Santa Anita for you in the final segment. You're listening to the Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts here on HRRN.
Bet and watch the races worldwide from the palm of your hand with Naira Betts. Sign up for Naira Betts today and take advantage of premier perks with the best live racing and instant replays in HD, exclusive promotions, and earn points on every bet. Sign up for Naira Betts today with the promo code HRRN200 and earn a deposit match bonus of up to $200. Again, that's HRRN200. With Naira Betts, you can bet any track, anywhere, at any time. Head over to NairaBetts.com.
Championship racing is now at the legendary Pimlico Racecourse. The Pimlico meet offers live racing Friday through Sunday with a post time of 12:40 p.m. Tune in on Sunday, June 13th for 5 great stakes with purses totaling $475,000. Wager on Pimlico's Rainbow Pick 6. The carryover has crushed the Maryland state record and is fast approaching the $1 million mark. Don't miss your chance to win big. Rainbow 6 is offered Friday through Sunday at Pimlico. Limited track admissions or catch the action via live stream at Pimlico.com.
HRRN is live online. Go to our website at horseracingradio.net to stream all of our broadcasts live or listen to the show archives anytime. Read our blogs, get the latest news, and see our entire broadcast schedule. It's all there at horseracingradio.net. And follow us on Twitter at HRRN and like our page on Facebook. Search Apple Podcasts for HRRN and download our latest shows. HRRN is home to racing's biggest events, and our home on the web is at horseracingradio.net.
Hi, this is Shug McGahee, and I really enjoy listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Weekend Stakes Preview, presented by Naira Betts.
The Chosen Vron now within 2 lengths. Another couple back to wipe the slate. I'll Stand Taller drops back there at the top of the stretch. Laurel River bracing for the oncoming charge from the Chosen Vron. These two square off, and the Chosen Vron runs right by him past the eighth pole and waves goodbye. Laurel River is back to second, and then it's wiped the slate in third. The Chosen Vron, sharp in victory, wins the Lazaro Barrera by more than 3 lengths. Laurel River clearly second best. Wiped the slate was third.
The Mirror Man, Frank Miramati, was on the call of the Laz Barrera, the Chosen Vron. See how he does stretching out in the Grade 3 Affirmed Sunday at the Great Race Place, Santa Anita. Welcome back to Weekend Stakes Preview presented by Naira Betts here on HRR. And get your Saturday started with the Equine Forum. Tomorrow morning, trainer Grant Forster talks about Pirate's Punch, looking to defend his title in Saturday's Grade 3 Salvador Mile down at Monmouth. Hall of Famer Mike Smith, Money Mike, remembers his first career win and looks back on his career. Woodbine CEO Jim Lawson looks ahead to the start of their 2021 meetup at Woodbine. Thankfully, it starts tomorrow. There's a $100,000 guaranteed early pick 4 on the weekends. That pool always goes over the guarantee. World-class turf racing was supposed to start next Friday. Guess what, folks? It starts tomorrow. 2 of those races, in fact, involved in that cross-country pick 5, including Belmont and Monmouth as well. Jim Gluckson from Breeders' Cup previews the upcoming Royal Ascot meet. Unsung Heroes presented by Claiborne. Industry Star of the Week presented by Stuart Morris. In the Room with Sean Classy. A Stroll Through Racing History with our own Kurt Becker presented by Lanes Inn and Keeneland. It's a show that launched the network. The Equine Forum, you can blame them. Sirius 219, XM 201, stream it live worldwide on your home for all of racing's biggest events at horseracingradio.net. All right, 2 to go at Santa Anita. the possibly perfect, goes as race number 9 on Sunday. Mile and a quarter for the fillies and mares on the turf. Field of 8. Going to go 10 panels. Oh, man. There's my girl, Neige Blanche. That was a nice, that was some photo. That was some photo we won last time, Bobby Newman, in the Santa Barbara Grade 3. So no graded, this is our first non-graded effort in the States. She's got to get a little faster. And she's a player because she obviously likes these added distances. But she's got a couple of horses in here, namely Dog Tag, who have just run faster and have run okay at this distance.
Yeah, and the strange thing is, you know, Neige Blanche is coming out of 5 straight graded stake races, and she's dropping into this $75,000, you know, whatever, listed stake, and, you know, this may be this looks like a tougher field than what she saw last time out in the Grade 3 Santa Barbara. I think Dog Tag's going to win. She's proven at Santa Anita, 4 times racing on the turf there, 2 wins, 2 second place finishes. She's proven at the mile and a quarter distance, winning this possibly perfect last year at Santa Anita by over a length as the 4-5 favorite. She's proven off a little bit of a layoffs, as she's shown in her last couple of starts. She may just be better than this field. The other thing is there's not a lot of pace in this mile and a quarter race. You're hard-pressed to figure out who is going to make the lead in here. I mean, it could be number 8, Cora, who comes in from Fairgrounds and Sam Houston for Richie Baltus. Dog Tag is not going to be far away, and I have a feeling that these closers are going to have to pass her when they come to the top of the stretch.
Defending champion, Dog Tag. She's only run twice since. Once on dirt, they tried the Clement Hirsch with just 6 runners. You might as well. She didn't run well on the dirt at all. And then last time out in the Royal Heroine, Grade 2, going a mile, obviously a little bit more ground for this filly. I remember when she was with Chad. She's okay. She's all right. She's certainly not one. She has a couple of faster races, but she's certainly not one that's going to scare you away. I'm going back to my girl. I have a little loyalty to this mare. She ran this filly. She ran well last time. I think Juan gave her a fantastic ride last time. They went faster in the mile and a half race than they did in the mile and a quarter race the time before. I think she'll be a little bit closer. I'm going to take Neige Blanche just for the simple fact that if you take Dog Tag's last race out, they're all very similar. Now, if Dog Tag runs her last race, she's going to gallop. No question about that. But I'm going to try my girl Neige Blanche one more time. Race number 9 goes as the possibly perfect. Race 10, we got 2 races for the 3-year-olds. The Pegasus at Monmouth. This affirmed that a great race place, 100,000 on the line. Get a field of just 5. Chosen Vron has won at 6.5 furlongs all 3 times. Tried the 7 furlong San Vicente behind Concert Tour and ran a respectable 3rd that day. He's got a stretch out, though, and his other rivals have already been around 2 turns, and they've all had some success. The only one, in fact, who hasn't won, the only one who's won around 2 turns is Mr. Impossible. The others have run around 2 turns and run well enough. See what the Chosen Vron can do here.
Yeah, he's really not bred to be better around 2 turns than 1 turn, being by Vronsky out of a Tis Wonderful mare. But his races are good. You mentioned Mr. Impossible. He was a horse who always was in or around the money, finally figured it out, going 2 turns for the first time. Now he's going to run without Lasix for the first time, so that's always a little bit of a question mark. All of the other ones have raced without Lasix, so if you're betting Mr. Impossible, that's just a little added worry there, wondering if he'll be the same horse without Lasix that he was with Lasix. I'm going to take the quote-unquote other Bob Baffert in this spot. Maybe he's not the other Baffert. Baffert runs both Classier and Defunded. Defunded is the horse that most people think of, you know, maybe has a little bit more notoriety because of his efforts in the Santa Anita Derby and the Pat Day Mile. He's another one that really isn't bred to be better going long than short, but he's run okay long thus far.
number one Classier was very good in his debut at Santa Anita last year. And then they almost, I've never seen Bob Baffert do this, come off a maiden win debut October 24th. And basically, what is it? Is it, is that like a week and a half later? It's less than 2 weeks later, try the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. And just couldn't get the job, you know, just wasn't anywhere close. You know, showed was there for maybe the first six furlongs of the race, and then the other horses who looked a lot better going in proved a lot better. We haven't seen Classier since that race, though, and comes back with Flavian Pratt aboard. You'd kind of guess that Pratt would have his choice of these Bob Baffert runners. This one working well, is bred to run all day, being by Empire Maker out of a Bernardini mare. Wonder what kind of race we're going to get from Classier off the bench, but I'm willing to take a shot with him.
I could not agree more. I couldn't agree with you more. He thought enough to run this horse back in 12 days. Ship him from Santa Anita to Keeneland and run him back in the Breeders' Cup. Blinkers come off. I think people are going to get a little enamored with Mr. Impossible, because they'll look and they're going to see Concert Tour, Dream Shake, following C. And yes, Defunded's in there as well. But, I mean, if you look at who he's run against, Mr. Impossible looks very attractive. Very attractive on the card. But, yeah, Classier, for everything you said, looks to me to be the goods. I'll take him as well. Race number 10 on Sunday goes as the Grade 3. Affirmed. All right, all 11 in the books. Time now for the Naira Bets Best Bet.
This is the Naira Bets Best Bet.
All right, Bobby, take it away.
Well, we only talked about it about 90 seconds ago, but I think on Sunday at Santa Anita in the Possibly Perfect, they are not going to beat Dog Tag. I think the race she ran in the Royal Heroine last time out beats this field. I think she's capable of even better than that. Her races last year in the Possibly Perfect and an allowance race at Santa Anita both would beat this field very, very easily. She's just too good, and I'm willing to take the short price on Dog Tag in the Possibly Perfect.
So I'm going to do it. I'm going to go to Monmouth on Saturday, and that's Salvador Mayo, and I'm not giving you New York Traffic as the best bet because he's way too short to just give you a best bet as him. I'm going to give you that exacta with West Willpower. I really like that exacta cold. I'll make a small turnaround. When I mean a small turnaround, if you're investing $20 into the race, make it for 18 one way and 2 the other, or 16 one way and 4 the other. I'm really, really, I like that exacta a lot on Saturday in that Salvador Mile. So Monmouth Park, race number 10, 7-2 with a small reverse. That's my Naira Bets Best Bet New York Traffic over West Willpower. We got a couple of minutes left, Bobby. Second half of the year upon us now. We have the two races, the Pegasus, the Affirmed, the three-year-olds come back. You see a horse like Classier come back, who you kind of forgot about. Now he's back. Anybody that you had under your radar or on the radar that you're looking forward to for a big second half from?
Well, I really want to see how these three-year-olds progress. It's not any one horse that's under the radar. I want to see how these horses progress. I want to see if somebody emerges as the de facto leader in the sprint division. We were talking about this the other day, and neither of us could come up with a horse that we think, you know, that it's him or her and everybody else, whether you think it's Gamine or one of these, you know, one of the CZ Rocket or whoever. It'd be interested to see if somebody comes out of, you know, Del Mar or Saratoga and emerges as the, you know, this is definitely the horse to beat in that division. I also want to see how Mystic Guide comes back, because I think a lot of the older horses, the real good ones, retired after last year. It seemed like all those big names from the Breeders' Cup Classic went to stud after that. And we don't know what we're going to get from Charlotte.
Tacitus is still here.
What's that?
Tacitus is still around.
Tacitus is still around. And if he is the top older horse, then I'm probably going to be disappointed. But
be careful.
We don't know what we're going to get from Charlatan. We don't know what we're going to get from Silver State, how far he's going to go. Mystic Guide, I think, is going to be interesting if he can hold the banner for the older horses at the longer distances.
Talked to Leanna Williford this morning. She told me both Speaker's Corner and Forza d'Oro were back training. I'm looking forward to those two returning to the battles, hopefully this spring into summer at Belmont or the Old Spa. Great job as always, my man. We'll do it again Wednesday for race day.
All right, buddy. Have a great weekend.
All right. Enjoy the Prairie Meadows this weekend. You can catch Bobby out at Prairie Meadows on the mic. For Bobby and Lee, I'm the Big A. Hope you have a lucky night. I hope you win all your photo finishes. Tomorrow morning, the Equine Forum starts at 8. We'll talk to you then. Have a great night, HRN Nation.